Greetings, friends. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer from upstate New York. I'm going to go over some historical documented instances of police instigating and provoking riots out of peaceful protests. And we've got a lot to talk about on this. They're called agent provocateurs. And it's a long standing term used to describe government agents that dress up as somebody else. They go undercover and they provoke violence and looting and rioting to demonize the legitimate protest. Because if the government can associate protest with violence and protest with rioting and protest with property damage and burning cars and smashing things and blowing things up, then they can get the majority of the American sheeple and sheeple worldwide to accept a stronger police and military presence, more funding into the billions for the police to get more equipment and more aggressive training, more violent and more domineering and more dangerous to the people, where the police are told, bang heads, you know, show them who's boss, shoot first, ask questions later, they're all guilty until proven innocent. You round them up first, tell them you're not a lawyer, and you just let the courts work it out, but round up everybody you can to protect your paycheck and your pension and your paradigm. So we're going to start with our first instance of police provoking violence within peaceful protesters. In other words, transforming a good protest where people are trying to make a case and get together in large numbers and affect positive change, and demonizing that by having a few bad apples, a few instigators purposely placed into the crowd to begin the violence. And it's usually just a couple of people that start it hard and heavy. So we're going to start off with this. This is from Global Research, Center for Research on Globalization. They're against it. They're not for globalization. They're buy local, fix local people like we are here at Courtroom Watch and Eric the Freedom Screamer and Company. So the title of the article at Global Research, and they just reposted this. This is an article that was, this is an incident that happened 10 years ago, and it's just been reposted in May 2020. Because it has very powerful explanations for what's going on in the riots that are taking place after the George Floyd murder by Minneapolis, Minnesota police. So this is a repost this month, this year, May 2020. We're now just into June here. And this originally took place, or was posted in Toronto in June 2010. So I'm going to read this to you as we go along, and then I'm going to play a little video because Eric the Freedom Screamer is online now, and hopefully we are going to have to deal with no more crappy connections. But when stuff comes on live over the radio, it's good to get it then and get it out there rather than wait until the radio station posts it online and I go to the archives and pull it up. You know, so there is a speed element, a time element involved, and that's why sometimes I will bring you just, hey, listen to what's going on. This is live coming over the radio in or near the area that I'm at. So most of the rioting is very quite far away from where I am. I'm 60, 70 miles out into the hills of western New York near Pennsylvania. And so we're in Amish country. We're not in anywhere near any city or suburbs. So, but close enough within radio distance where I can pick up everything going on in Buffalo, Rochester, and the surrounding southern tier area, but those are the two big cities that I'm close to, Buffalo, Rochester, and Boston. I get Boston radio in the evening. It's been very interesting picking up what's going on there with the police instigating violence, and I'm going to resist the temptation to blow them all at once, but I'm going to go one at a time and work our way through this, okay? So we're going, starting chronologically, meaning in time. We're going back 10 years to lay the groundwork with some well-documented historic evidence on agitators instigating violence in a peaceful protest. So, Global Research, and the title is The Toronto G20 Riot Fraud undercover police engaged in purposeful provocation. Once again, the title of the article that I'd like people to look at Global Research is called The Toronto G20 Riot Fraud, Undercover Police Engaged in Purposeful Provocation. So, here we go. Montebello, 2007. At the Security and Prosperity Partnership meeting protests in Montebello, Quebec, on August 20th, 2007, a Quebec union leader caught and outed three masked undercover Quebec provincial police operatives dressed up as Black Bloc protesters who were about to start a riot by throwing rocks at the security police. See the following videos documenting this event. And one of them is entitled Stop SPP Protest, Union Leader Stops Provocateurs. The other video is entitled Evidence, Police Provoke Violence at SPP Protest. SPP stands for the Security and Prosperity Partnership. That had nothing to do with the security and prosperity of the people. Here once again, at the Security and Prosperity Partnership meetings in Quebec in 2007, Quebec provincial police operatives dressed up as protesters tried to start riots by throwing rocks at security police. And they have the videos here. Now I'm going to play this video. Let's see how this goes. This will be first. I'm back online, mounting the sticks, and finally got Wi-Fi going. Here we go. Let's see how this works. I'm going to start off this video. I'm going to advance it to 31 seconds where the very important information takes place. Well, let me start from the beginning and play it for y'all.
At the protest against the Security and Prosperity Partnership Leaders Summit in Montebello, Quebec, three police officers dressed as radical protesters with rocks in their hands were confronted by legitimate protesters and accused of trying to incite a riot. This covert action contravenes the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which guarantees the fundamental freedom, peaceful assembly, and the legal right of security of the person. At first, the irritated Quebec denied that these were their officers, but after 3 days of pressure, they admitted.
Listen to this.
As we confirmed yesterday, the three people in question were indeed Surface Quebec police officers performing their duty.
I'm going to stop it right there. That needs to be heard again. So the gentleman made his case that there were three operatives there dressed up as protesters. Now let me describe now what I'm seeing when I watch this video for any of you who aren't online yet or are just curious to hear what my take is on this. Here's what I see. So the video starts out. I'm going to put it on mute while I'm playing it. Let me close out the little goofy ad here. And we'll go back to playing.
Okay.
I'm going to mute it. Okay, so we see three guys amid the protesters who are suspiciously wearing masks. Now, this is back in 07. There was no masks anywhere. There's no coronavirus. Masks were definitely out of place. If you're wearing a mask, you're a criminal, a coward, or a Muslim. That's it. Or an agent provocateur in this case. So there's three guys, really beefy guys. I mean, these guys look like they could be out there playing on the football team. They're obviously in good shape, and they work on their, you know, muscles and stuff. They're wearing black T-shirts with military camouflage army pants, and they have black bandanas over their faces, and they're wearing goofy kind of baseball hats cocked off to the side to try to make them look like a goofy, you know, hippie protester or whatever. All right, so there's these three guys, military pants, bandanas, and the most important thing is they all have rocks or bricks in their hand. And this is what the protesters initially started ragging at them for was, hey, what are you doing with the rock in your hand? We're not turning this into a violent riot here. We want to get our protest message across. Just what the government does not want. So they put these police agent, undercover police guys out there dressed up as protesters. And these are the only guys with rocks in their hands. None of the other protesters have any violent intention on their mind. So let me resume this. And so the protest organizers are coming over saying, hey, take off the mask. Put down the rock. Put down the rock. Take off the mask. And the reason I'm not playing this for you is because there's a lot of yelling. There's screaming. It's going to be tough to hear. And there's a lot of F-bombs. And I'm trying to make this somewhat family-friendly so that, you know, teenagers can listen to this and parents with their children. And it's not so heavy-duty with swearing and stuff that it's just going to be, you know, problematic. So we're going along, and the protests are yelling at each other. I'll take it off you for a second.
Mental freedom. Peaceful assembly. Have a legal right to security of the first
gentleman. People are yelling, we want a public inquiry.
I'm irritated because I denied that these were their officers.
So here's the police chief coming up. So here's the police chief coming up. The gentleman's commenting, so we can't really hear the protesters yelling at each other. But so it was the three guys that looked like military guys wearing military pants and wearing bandanas and holding bricks in their hand. And then the rest of the protesters saying, oh, take off the mask. We don't want you here. This is our protest, not yours. And then the three guys move over toward the police to get protection. And you can see the one of the three undercover cops with the mask is turning his head to whisper something to one of the riot police, giving him instructions on what to do. So you can see they're in deep communication with each other, these two guys. They obviously knew each other. And so we have the cop, undercover protester cop, talking to one of the riot police or trying to figure out what they're going to do because they just got busted. There's hundreds of people now yelling at them, take off the mask, put down the brick. They've been outed. So now here is the police chief. I want to play this many times in a row because the police chief actually came out and admitted who these guys were. Let's hit it again and take it off
mute. It's irritating because I denied that these were their officers. But after
okay, hold on. So let me pause that there. At first, they call it the Sieur de Quebec is the name of their police department. It's the major police for Quebec, Canada. And the gentleman just said for several days, the police department in Quebec denied that these were their people. But after days of pressure, the chief of police made the following, or the spokesman for the police department. He's wearing the uniform, and he's up in an official press conference, so I'm assuming it's him. So he made the following statement.
Days of pressure, they admit this.
As we confirmed yesterday, the three people in question were indeed Sioux Quebec police officers performing their duties.
Oh!
They admit this.
As we confirmed yesterday, the three people in question were indeed Sioux Quebec police officers performing their duties.
Oh, I love this.
They admit this.
As we confirmed yesterday, the three people in question were indeed Sioux Quebec police officers performing their duties.
Oh, I love this computer thing here. Now I can play it for you in their own words. There's the chief of police for Quebec, Canada, saying the three men were indeed Sioux Quebec police officers performing their duties. Okay? Quebec is French Canada as well, so many people up there have a French accent. And the name of their police department, as you heard, the Sûreté de Quebec police, and they're admitting that these guys were with the police. Let's just hear that again, just to make the point, so police people don't think that I'm, just anti-police making this up. Here we go.
They're officers, but after 3 days of pressure, they admit it.
As we confirmed yesterday, the three people in question were indeed Sûreté Quebec police officers.
At first, the Sûreté de Quebec denied that these were their officers. But after 3 days of pressure, they admit it.
As we confirmed yesterday, the three people in question were indeed Sioux Quebec police officers.
First, the Sûreté de Quebec denied that these were their officers. But after 3 days of pressure, they admit it.
As we confirmed yesterday, the three people in question were indeed Sioux Quebec police officers performing their duties.
Oh, I love the computer. I can play it over and over again, drive it home to people's brains. Did you get that, everybody? Okay. They were the Quebec police officers performing their duties. So part of their duty is to be an agent provocateur and start a riot. Okay, now I'm going to scroll down farther in this article from Global Research. So I think I made the point there on that. Did you hear it enough times? No, I'm not going to play it again. I might later. All right, so here we go. As we scroll down, the operation was exposed by the following picture of the undercover police wearing combat boots identical to those of the security police arresting them. This is why the police chief had to come out and admit that these guys were cops. Once again, the operation was exposed by the following picture of the undercover police wearing combat boots identical to those of the security police who were arresting them. So suppose that they may have went through this charade of the riot police pretending to arrest the undercover cops, and then they skirted them off. And the police chief admitted that they were his people. Now, you have to see this picture. It says, see the distinctive yellow dots on the thick corrugated soles of the boots, which are the giveaway. And as you look at the picture, it's precious. You got to see it. It's a pile of cops holding down these three undercover cops dressed up as protesters to make it look like they were arresting them. And everybody's wearing the same boot, both the three protester cop guys and all of the security police. They got the identical boots with the yellow tag on the bottom and the same corrugated soles, the same pattern, the same police boot issue. And this is what blew the whole thing. And you got to see the picture. They got big red circles and blow-ups, you know, close-up shots of the boots. The security police, identical match to the undercover cops who they're pretending to arrest. Excuse me for 1 second. We continue. Fast forward to the Toronto 2010 G20 protest. So that was Montebello 27. Then on Saturday, June 26, 2010, the Globe and Mail published on their website a number of photographs taken on that afternoon in downtown Toronto, where a riot took place by the Black Bloc protesters. And in it, you see the same police boot issue. It's the same 2007 in Montebello, Quebec, 2010 in Toronto. Starbucks vandal. Here we have the guy who was caught on the famous picture throwing the chair through the Starbucks. Has some of the same militarized characteristics that the other guys did. The provocateurs' combat boots. Here's a good one. Below, another operative throws what appears to be a rock through a Starbucks window. Note this brand-new, very distinctive black color combat boot. This is on the protester throwing the rock through the window. Note, as at Montebello, so same thing that happened in Montreal happened in Toronto, the special thick, heavy, corrugated soles of the boot, plus what appears to be some reinforcement of the upper forefoot area. Also note the mismatched black and white socks. The guy's wearing one white sock and one black sock, and his pants are turned up like 8 inches. So it's clearly he's showing the fact that he's got mismatched socks. And they go on to speculate that this could be a signal so the cops know who their people are within the protest. Back to the article. Here's another black block operative stomping on the roof of a Toronto police car. Where are the police? He is obviously being, quote, allowed to trash the vehicle to create what will become the signature media image of the event, burning police cars in Toronto. So did you get that? There's one guy, and I'm looking at the picture here. It's at the article at Global Research, Toronto riot fraud. Burning police cars in Toronto. And here's a picture of a guy destroying a police car by himself, one guy, while all the other people just stand there taking pictures. So really all it takes is one bad apple working for the police to bring down the hand of the police on the peaceful protesters and crush your peaceful protest and demonize the legitimate protest in the eyes of the American sheeple who will think, oh my gosh, protesters are bad, they riot, they loot. Protest equals riot equals looting, all protest bad. Which is a very dangerous trap because we have to remember America was founded on protest and very violent protest. Sometimes it's essential, but we have to do it the right way with a charter, a declaration, a lawful land jurisdiction, which is the General Assembly, and we'll talk about that in our upcoming blog. So stay tuned for great solutions, real solutions, like permanent solutions, but we need a lot of people on board. And it's all nonviolent. Can't beat that. Okay. So back to the guy stopping the police car, Toronto very much similar to Montreal. And by the way, don't think they're operating off any different playbook here in the United States. It's same. These are global police initiatives. It says, but his shoes can obviously take it because he is wearing the same brand new distinctive black combat boot as the Starbucks rock throwing provocateur. See the photo in higher resolution. Note that the same thick soles with deep corrugations visible in an enlargement as a scalloping of the front bottom outer edge of the uplifted left shoe. Okay, so hey, dudes and chicks, these people are really breaking it down heavy duty. They're analyzing every nook and cranny, and this is a great article. Once again, Global Research, Toronto Riot Fraud G20. Okay, so this is basically stuff that took place 10 years ago, but I can assure you the same things are taking place even on steroids today. So so let me see if there's anything else. So here's another one. Canadian bureaucratic, where do we have here? Below is yet a closer view of the armored police boots. The picture shows the upper part of the shoes more clearly. The police are also wearing what appears to be an additional protective spat module, which is strapped over the shoe's upper forefront foot area. This looks like an extra equipment add-on and not an integral part of the civilian version of the shoe, which is otherwise identical to the police shoes and the design feature of color. Okay, so once again, this is a very credible, very well-researched, very detailed article. And they, through the equipment, the shoes, the socks, the belts, the actions, the rocks in their hand, the absorption into the police lines for protective custody, and the admission by our friend at the Sûreté du Québec Police Department. Let's hear it again.
Nice. These were their officers. But after 3 days of pressure, they admitted.
As we confirmed yesterday, the three people in question were indeed Sûreté du Québec police officers performing their duties.
Okay, so let nobody question this. The guys admitted it, that those were undercover cops at the protest with bricks and rocks in their hands about to start a violent riot from what would have normally would have been a peaceful protest. So there's our building block. We're going to move forward from there into the George Floyd protests of presence. But it was important to lay this foundation. So everybody, I want you to go look at this yourself. There's some great other pictures and reading in there. Once again, the website's called Global Research, and the article's called The Toronto G20 Riot Fraud, Undercover Police Engaged in Purposeful Provocation. Toronto G20 Riot Fraud. All right, so go there, check it out, and we'll get back to you with some unbelievable blogs about what's going on right along these lines during the George Floyd protests in Buffalo, Denver, Seattle, Boston, and Minneapolis in particular. We'll get back to you soon. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer, over and out.